Let's see, there was, oh yeah, we run into two German half-tracks and kind of think what they call them things. It was in half-track, it was a little bit bigger, but it had a carry 50 caliber one. And these half-tracks, they carried 50 caliber bullets. Well, our same as our 50 caliber, I think it was a 9mm or something like that, 50 caliber.
No, 9mm is a little smaller.
Well, it was a big shell.
Mm-hmm.
It's as big around as my finger.
That'd be a 50 caliber, yeah.
Okay, yeah. They spotted us, they started shooting us, so we scattered, see, like that. And I told them, I says, well, you gotta stay hidden, I says, and cover me, I says, and I'll call as close as I can, and I says, enough. And I had 3 rounds of bazooka, and I figured, well, I better get somebody with this. And I got the, when I aimed, and then I shot the half track was sitting, maybe about 5 feet apart. So, mm-hmm. So, and I was on an angle, so I aimed for the first one, and I figured I can get them both, and which I did when it was a half track, when I shot it.
Sure.
And then we just had that other machine, and I figured the last 2 shells I better take care of, and I did. We got 22 of them there at that time, you know, shot up the half track and that other gun. And that weapons carry they had there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
did you guys made it into Sicily after that?
Pardon?
Did you guys make it into Sicily after that?
Yeah, we were in Sicily.
Oh, you were in Sicily.
Yeah, but we didn't. We weren't up at Palermo. We didn't get there until about a month later.
Okay.
Yeah. That's just about. We got with different groups. Like, I was with Ace Company for a while. And with that Norton I was telling you about, he was a captain mm-hmm. then, you know. See? And we finally ended up with my outfit, and then we fought 2 battles before we hit Palermo. One battle was we fought, and we took this one area. I don't know how many people got it, you know, I didn't pay much attention, but there was quite a few Germans. And then we were fighting Germans, but as long as we were fighting Italians, we didn't have much trouble, you know. As soon as they saw us, some of them, they threw their hands up in the air and they'd go, I'll get to that point too. Anyway, so we took this one area and got settled down. And I told the sergeant then, I says, I'm going to go out and find some proof. I said, it's pretty well quiet. I says, maybe I can find some proof. So I went out and I looked around and I carried a pair of glasses with me then too. And I spotted some trees down below, maybe about 100 yards, something like that. And I figured I'll go down and get it. Then I looked down in front of me. There's an Italian soldier. He had his pants down and he's taking a squat down his team's pants. They spotted that, and I lay down my stuff, and I said, oh, hell, I'll have a little fun here. So I shot down between his legs. He jumped up, and his pants stayed right there, and he went like a son of a gun down the road. You know? So then I went down there to the orchard. I got some figs and stuff, dates and figs that was ripe and stuff. So I got a little, I always carried a little. The sack was them little onion sacks they had perforated stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I put a bunch of that stuff in and come back. And the older guys would say, well, we didn't go to the food. You come back with that stuff. Boy, everybody wants some of that.
Mm-hmm.
See? Yeah.
Yep.
Then we took another town in Sicily. I can't remember the names of them. Yeah,
okay.
One. But anyway, we took that, got settled down, and we had several prisoners down in there then at that time. So I told the sergeant, well, we got some replacements in. We stand there, we kind of get them lined up and tell them what's happening and all that stuff. And they signed 4 of them to me, you know, and stuff. And I told the sergeant, I says, now, I don't understand this. It says, in my squad, I had a sergeant and a corporal. I said, how come you don't sign them guys, them people to train us? He says, well, he said, you take them out with them, it's more excitement than them other guys. He said, they'll get accustomed to it. So I was sitting there one day and I told him, I said, I'm going to go out and get some more fruit. So I told him, I said, I got to have somebody go with me. And I pointed this one kid, I said, you come with me. And he says, no, he said, I don't want to go with you. And he said, and he looked at the sergeant, the platoon sergeant, that's old Christensen was his name. And he said, do I have to go? And old Christensen said, if he asks you to tell you to go, he said, you go, that's all there's to it. So he went with me. That poor guy, he was just scared. That's the first time he was in battle, first time he got in there. So we got going there and pretty soon, we was about 3/4 of a mile from where we was camped. And I stopped there, and it was sandaling kind of a nose, and I was looking around to see if there was some fruit. Didn't see anything, so I heard some noise, and I asked him, I said, you hear that rumbling noise? And he says, yeah. He said, let's get out of here. That sounds like a bunch of soldiers coming or something. And I said, no. I said, let's see what's going on. So I walked to the top of the edge of this little knoll, and I looked down below there, and there's about, oh, I don't know, quite a few Italian soldiers down there. See? And they had a fire going, and they had all their weapons field stacked and everything. They just sit there eating and drinking and stuff like that. See? So I told this kid, I said, let's capture them guys. He says, you're crazy. He says, them people would kill us. There's all the guys down there. And I didn't know how many there were. There's quite a bunch of them. So I took my Thompson machine gun, and I shot 3 rounds up in the air, see? And boy, everybody threw their hands up in the air. Oh, and then the commander of the group, you know, he turned out he was a major, but he could speak English. Boy, he come running over there to me, see? I told him, I said, you guys are prisoners of war. Oh, yeah, we're prisoners of war. You know, and I got them all lined up, and I told him, I said, I'm going to take you up to the camp, and he says, we've got a stockade up there, and that's what we're putting. Yeah, okay. And I says, now I'll tell you something. I said, you take your knives and your handguns. I says, anybody's got them, drop them on the ground. I says, everybody. And I told him, I says, if I catch one of you guys that still got a knife or a handgun, I'm going to shoot him if he's got it. I says, that's all he's doing. You tell him that. I don't know what he told him, but boy, they all got rid of him. Got rid of him. So I told him, we'll line them up 4 abreast. I'll take off, and I told the kid, you take off and lead the bunch, you know, and I'll come up in the back. And that major, he stayed in the back with me. Oh, I got my ears were ringing the time we got up there. He talked, and this and that, and so we got up there, and we had a little stockade, so I told the guard, I said, raise it up and let these guys in there. So this major, he asked me, he says, where's your officers? And well, by that time I saw the captain standing there, and the major, I read it. Battalion commander and the company commander. And I told him, pointed, I said, them 2 guys up there, you can go talk to them. So he did, when he was talking. I didn't hear all of it, but what I heard, he was exaggerating. God, he had them thinking that we had a heck of a battle and all that, and I got shot a bunch of guys. And it was quite a story, he was kidding. But I got them all in there, and then pretty soon he come over there, and I told him, get behind that wire seat. So he did, he got over there. So I walked up to the captain, and the captain says, he says, you had quite a battle in front of them. I said, what did that guy tell you? And he told me, I said, it didn't happen that way, captain. Then the major told the captain, he said, you put him in for Silver Star, you know. And he said, we're writing up, and he said, yeah, you'll have to sign it, and some of the other guys. And that major said, he'll sign it too. And I told him, I said, no, I said, you don't do that. I said, all I've done is I shot 3 rounds up in the air. Then I told him, they're surrendered. That's what's it. But boy, did he have a story. But anyway, then pretty soon there's a woman coming in with about 4 kids, you know, standing up there. And the major hollered at me. So I walked up there, and he told me, he said, that was his wife and kids that were standing over there. And he says, can I go over there and talk to him? I said, sure. So I was the fence wire up, and I said, go ahead. And he stood there. Couldn't figure out me out, you know, what I was doing. I said, get your butt over there. He went over there and talked to her. Pretty soon he come back, and he said, she wants me to come home and sit for a while and get something to eat and stuff like that. And I thought, well, I don't know. I said, yeah, you sure you want to do that? Or you going? I don't know whether I can leave you go. So we went anyway. It's just that, okay, you come back. And I pointed to my watch, and I said, you'll be back here at that time. Yeah. So he took off, and I figured, that's the last time I'm going to see that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be darned if he didn't come back. Yeah. And his wife come back, and 2 other women, and they had bowls of stuff and everything to eat. And he come over where I was at, and he says, his wife wants to feed me and stuff like that, different things again. And good God, I got some of them. The rest of the guys got there too. They were eating skitty and all that stuff, all kinds of food, you know.
And that guy didn't want to take me captive.
No, he backed in the stockade, you know. Yeah.
How amazing. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, as you're going through all these battles and stuff, I know me personally, if I were to be being shot at, I'd be scared, you know, scared silly.
Well, I tell you, most of the times, especially when the bullet hit, went through my shirt or my jacket, stuff. I had, oh, I mentioned about 14 holes in my jacket and 3 bullet holes in my helmet. Not then, by the time I the war ended, you know. Mm-hmm. But I get mad. Oh, and then I really start shooting, and I get mad. From there, then we got up to Palermo, and we got everything grouped up and everything. We stayed there. We was only in Sicily maybe about a little over 2 months, something like that. See, we got all of them. Then they had the beach landings and coming. The regular infantry, they took over, then they pulled us out.
So the paratroopers were the first ones in?
We were the first ones out.
Any of the infantry?
The first ones out. They took us out, and then they took us back over to Rennes. Regrouped us and got us ready. And heck, a month later, we jumped into Italy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How was that?
Well, I don't know much about Italy. I was in Italy 4 days, and I got wounded. The plane come through and strafing. I was sitting in the park, This part was all outside.
Mm-hmm.
My leg was kind of down in the park, so, but it was open stuff like that. And they had a little bench down there where I could sit on.
Right.
And I was sitting, and this plane come through, and it seemed when he come down through, I was sitting kind of a hill like this here, and I was sitting right down an inch of it, and then it could go on the back side. And where he was, he'd come down the kind of a little valley, you know, and he'd come at me. And he started shooting, boy, and I tell you, he got me in the leg. And then he got a bullet through my jacket on one side. And first I thought somebody threw a rock at me or something. It didn't hurt. I just felt something hit me in the leg. And I hollered at the guy next to me, and I said, "You threw a rock at me?" And he says, "No." And I looked down, and the blood was shooting out the side of my leg. So, and I told him, I says, "Hey, I got wounded." And then the medic come running over there and stuff, and he cut my pants up open, and he's just ready to stop. He had some patch on laying on the wound, you know, so to keep it bleeding. And I told him, I said, "You better get the heck out of here." I said, "That plane is coming back." So when he come around, I figured he'd come in there. So I grabbed a little clip of M1 rifle, 30-06, pick up clip, and it had armor-pierced bullets in it, see. So I just laid back, and I couldn't go anywhere. I was stuck there. So then them guys took off. So I laid back and waited for the plane to come through, and I opened fire on that. I emptied all 8 rounds on that son of a gun, and he was smoking when he was going over there. Then they said, somebody said, "Lady, he went down behind me someplace."
Oh, wow.
So shot him out, I guess. Yeah.
So
that's the end of my Italy.
You were wounded. Did you get a Purple Heart for it?
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Actually, I got 2 Purple Hearts.
And then did you go, I'm assuming they pulled you out of combat at that point.
Well,
right?
Yeah, they took me out and took, now I'm getting back to that buddy of mine that jumped, that became a medic, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
They took me back to this aid station, and he was a medic in there, and I run into him, see? I talked to him for a little while and stuff like that, and they patched me up and everything, and then from there they put me on a ship, and they sent me across the back to Iran again,
mm-hmm.
see? And they had a big tent hospital back over there. That's where I was in there for about 20 days. My wound wouldn't heal up, and they couldn't understand it. And then pretty soon, this one nurse go over there, and she said, "There's something wrong with that thing." She says, "You got red marks running up your leg already." She says, and she said, "That indicates that you might get blood poisoning or something like that." So I says, "I don't know." I says, "There's something wrong." I said, "Why doesn't it heal up?" And I says, "Why does it always hurt?" You know. So she had a pair of tweezers about that long. She said, "You mind if I reach in there and probe around?" And I said, "It couldn't hurt any worse than it does now." So she did. She messed around, and then she pulled a piece of gauze out about like that long that they had stuffed in there. And the damn thing was green and stuck. Oh my God, that was terrible. And I said, "You better get rid of that." She said, "I'm going to lay it down over there and let the doctor look at it and tell him where it come from." She swabbed it all out and got it cleaned up, like put a patch on it. But a week later, my leg was healing up. Then that one nurse come in there that evening, and it's just, Ruben, they got a great movie coming in there. And it's just, where's the theater? She says, "It's no theater." She says, "They got a bunch of rocks and logs laying out there, and the screen up there. It's outside." She says, "We just sit there and listen. I said, God, I said, it gets cold here at night. You know? She said, we got that all figured out. There's two nurses. So they got one got on each side of me, and they got me, and they had me in the middle. They half carried me. I could walk on one leg. See, so they carried me over there, and they stopped, and they got four of them GI blankets, mm-hmm. and went over there, sat down, and all three of them sitting in there, and it was all covered up with them damn blankets. Watched a movie that night.
Now, being in this hospital, the field hospital that they had, I'm sure you saw soldiers, they came in with casualties.
Oh, I'll tell you, when I was in there, you know, I just had a leg wound. Mm-hmm. I saw guys in there that had one arm missing and a leg missing, and one guy had both legs missing and stuff. And one guy, I don't know what happened to him. He could stand up, but he'd just keep shaking like that. Mm-hmm. He was hit a couple of times, you know, probably a nerve injury or something like that. Right. And boy, it made me feel strange of being in a place like that and see them poor guys and stuff like that. So I thought, what in the heck am I crying about? Yeah.
Puts it into context.
Yeah, you see all that. Then they took me out, and they put me on a ship. And I was sitting in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea on this ship for 21 days. Yeah, I could see land all around. Like that. And I didn't too much on ships, you know. I get a little seasick, mm-hmm. and we go down to eat, especially when they had fried stuff like that. Good. I like that. That makes me so sick I'd almost eat before I could eat it. And every time you went down there, they give you some kind of a shot, you know, mm-hmm. shot for this and shot for well, they're just getting rid of the ship around here. So we sat there, we was waiting for the rest of my outfit to come and build up a convoy to go through it. And then when they did, we went through the Rock of Gibraltar. And that's, you know, that just narrow strip for this one ship to go through the column, and I think it went through there. And they claimed that they had to be careful and stuff like that because the German U-boats were down there and floating around.
Right.
And so we finally got through, and of course they had them destroyers that too. They went out first, and they dumped death charges and stuff like that, and got them pretty well cleaned out. And we went that, and they were clear across on the ship, clear across on the backside of England, clear up in Northern Ireland, up and through that, and then we landed up there in Northern Ireland.
Ah.
And that's where they dropped us off, and we went there to train and get ready for the Normandy invasion.
And how were the Irish reacting to the Americans?
Yeah, they were great people, yeah.
No problems whatsoever?
No, I didn't have any problems, but some of the guys, you know, wherever they go, they can get in trouble, you know. There's some guys, but I was still recuperating, see, and I got back my outfit again after the captain. I said, I don't know what I can do. I said, I don't think I can do any running. He said, you're not going to do any running. He says, we got a deal set up in a big tent they had there for rec room and stuff like that. And he says, for pool table in there, and where they got that stuff, I don't know. And they had magazines and stuff to read and all that stuff. Just, you take care of that. So I said, well, that sounds pretty good. So and sitting there, nothing to do and stuff, just that stuff, and I got thinking, heck, I'll go to town, see, and I asked the first sergeant there, I said, I'd like to get a pass to go to town and see what the heck in Ireland there. We isn't too far from town. He says, okay, so I went to town, messed around, and I bought 5 eggs, and I paid $1.50 for an egg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I said, well, I'll take them home. Then I bought a bottle of Irish scotch, a mm-hmm. big bottle like that. Took it in there, and then I had a little shot like that. Like that. I put it in, and I took a sip of it. And I wasn't much of a whiskey drinker anyway, so I couldn't take that stuff. So I set the bottle there, and I put that little shot glass in, put a little sign up. $2 for a shot of whiskey. And by gosh, in a day and a half, that was all gone.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Them guys, you know, $2 for one of them little shots they paid me.
Oh
yeah.
Man.
I paid $40 for that Don King, and I think I ended up with $180 for that bottle.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
100 plus
then,
markup.
Then I thought of something else to do, and I thought, well, I'll press the ODs, you know. The shirts and stuff like that. The shirts we had pressed when they had two creases in the front and three in the back, you know. So I charged $5.50 for pressing one of them and $3.50 for a pair of slacks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, I had stacks of them things up there. I went up to the supply room and got an iron board and an iron stuff and it's like iron. I got tired of that too, you know. I was doing that to steady, you know.
Yeah.
All the money, taking every, all of it, and most of that money I just get and I send it home to mother.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I didn't send it to my wife, but I figured mother, I owed my mother more than I did her.
Now, at this time, I was going to get back to Paul. Were you able to keep in contact with your family? I mean, earlier you mentioned it was about once a month.
Yeah, well, but after we got out of the battle, like that, I go about once a week and stuff like mm-hmm. that, you know, yeah.
And how was your family dealing with you being over there at that time?
Well, they were mostly concerned, you know, when I got wounded, you know, they were kind of shook up. I found out later, you know, when the telegram got down, it went to my dad, see.
Mm-hmm.
He was still alive then. And he got the telegram, him and my two brothers, Art and Raul, and they went with him. And I guess one of my older brothers, Ted, he was with him too. And my wife was working for a store uptown. They all come up there with that kind of, what the hell is it?
Telegram.
That they had sent, you know. And they didn't open it up until they got to my wife, and she opened it up, you know. They didn't know whether I got killed or what it was. They just said, Army.
Right.
Yeah. And then I told them that I got wounded. And they didn't say nothing. She said, didn't say nothing, just that I got wounded. Where I got wounded or what, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. And then they were a little concerned. They did. Thought of, at that time, my brother got wounded in Italy, too. I found out later. And I found out that my outfit was going up the road one way and the other outfit coming down. He was in that outfit coming down and I was in this one going up. We didn't even know it.
Missed each other by 10 feet.
Yeah.
Talking about your brothers, did you ever have any contact with them while you were overseas?
Oh, with my younger brother. He was home there with my mother, and that's where I wrote him and her both, you know.
Oh, okay.
And then my wife, you know. But I figured, I always put it in there that let the rest know how I'm doing and all
mm-hmm.
that stuff, yeah.
From there,
I want to tell you something about writing this letter. I could write this letter. She showed me that some of them letters. I'd write that letter. And sometimes the full page and stuff like that, over half of it was all blacked out. So she had to make up what happened in between that stuff.
Why was it all
I couldn't
out?
Talk about anything about the army.
The secrecy.
Where I was, I couldn't even mention where I was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they actually read your letters before
you
they mailed
they
them?
Did. Oh, you bet. They were all read before they went over there.
Wow. Yeah. That had to be pretty frustrating for her.
She said, most of the letters were just, hi, fellas, I'm doing okay. And then there was, but that much of it all blacked out. And then it says, well, I'm not doing too bad. The weather's pretty good. And,
mm-hmm.
Then in the bottom, I love you and Reuben, that's all she said.
From when you're in there in Ireland then, where did you go after that?
Well, from there we went to Loughborough, England. And that's where we stationed, we get prepared for, we knew something was coming off then,
mm-hmm.
you know, when the sentence up and they're getting us all set up to get ready for combat and stuff. And then they, we went into training again and stuff like that. Of course, then they gave us more pass. We'd go to town and we'd see if we can drink beer, you know, that English beer. In town, this about four of us guys, we'd go in there together. And we all go in there, we sit down, and some of the English people, but especially the English soldiers, they were a little jealous of us because we was making about three times more money than they
mm-hmm.
were. See, when the minute I was become a paratrooper, I was getting $50 a month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then after I made Sicily Combat, I was making $60 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I was in Italy, I made another $60 a month. I mean, I got another $10 a raise.
Yeah.
See. And then when I went over there, and after I was in there over there a year, I got another $10 a raise. But anyway, it's in Loughborough now. And was training well. The four of us, we went to town there. We sat down and ordered beer, Guinness beer, dark beer.
Pickle stout.
Yeah. And we instead of glasses, I think they had them mugs about that high, you
mm-hmm.
know, big around with a handle. We each pay our own. Then we play gentle. The last guy to finish this, he had to buy the wrong. So by the time you get around to four of us, each one by another, he's pretty happy. Oh, we'd have big time. We had one guy by the name of Emerson Hill. He was the biggest comedian I ever run across. And he had a funny laugh. He'd laugh and he'd lay his head back and he'd blast it out. He'd do that on purpose. He didn't normally get a laugh like that. And everybody's there and they look around, what the heck is going on? So one time we went to town and we decided we're going to have dinner in town. So we went to this nice fancy restaurant and sat down. There were four of us sitting there. And when we first walked in, it just quiet. The people were sitting there eating. Hell, they didn't hardly talk, you know. We sat down and you know how Americans are going. They're talking about everything. One guy tell a joke and the other guy, he'd lean back and he'd lay it blast off one of them damn laughs. And everybody looked around at us. And they had chicken for dinner then at that time. So they brought that plate out and we scrapped one and we took it in our hand and started eating. And they were sitting there with a little knife and a fork that cut a little piece off. So we were there and we held them in our hand and we'd eat away and laugh and have a heck of a time. Pretty soon I looked around and I seen some of them other ones picking up their chicken eating like we were. Time we left there, everybody was happy.
That's cool. You mentioned earlier a phrase of 90-day lieutenant.
Okay. When it was on the front line. Well, it actually happened when in Normandy when I started having trouble with him. See, as they did, we jumped in Normandy. I'll get to that. I'll tell you when we jumped into Normandy.
Okay.
We jumped into Normandy there. It was June the 6th, 1944, when we jumped. The invasion took at this June the 6th. We jumped in there 6 minutes before midnight. So actually, we were in the Normandy June the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And we were fighting all that night, you know, fighting and through there. That's what we were making. We were supposed to erupt everything and get them all worked up and everything and stuff. So they, when they come into the beaches and stuff like that, they had a better chance.
But
they had that forted up, that beach, that canyon filled back in the banks and stuff like that. And them poor guys, they got slaughtered there. Well, anyway, when you jumped in there, there's a big opening into the little dam behind it. And when they jumped and found it up, they blew the dam, the Germans blew the dam, they flooded that whole area, and the 101st landed in there. They drowned several hundred of their paratroopers in there.
Oh.
They come down with all the great parachute on them and all the gear and everything. See, I weighed 135 pounds. When I had all my equipment and everything on them, I weighed 246 pounds. So you know how heavy we were.
Yeah.
And that was out without the parachute. Well, I had the parachute on too, so it weighed 246 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know how heavy it was. When they hit that water, they went right down to the bottom.
Straight, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But we landed right in St. Maria Glace. And I landed just about a block and a half from that church, the St. Maria Church. There. That's where the paratrooper got hung up to the side of that parachute church there. We got shot there. He's one of the outfit guys in my outfit. I just about a block and a half from there where I landed. When I landed there, I landed behind a house. And my parachute had folded over top of this little building. There was a chicken coop. And them things are just raising heck and making all kinds of noise. So I thought, I better get the heck out of there in a hurry.
Yeah.
So I got my parachute off and I started up and two girls come out of the house. And they saw me, because we all had that American flag deal right on our shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And they spotted that. And they hollered, American, American, I said, to be quiet and not make any noise. See, they just, then I asked them, I said, there any Germans around? And she says, just a few minutes ago, she says, there's five of them just walked by here. She said, they saw them. And I says, you guys better go in, there's a shooting around there. She says, we see a lot of that shooting. Heck, they were. Germans were in there for pretty near 4 years, you know. They were pretty well getting used to them people. So. But I told them, you better get out there. I said, there'll be a lot more shooting there. That one girl could speak real good English.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so she said, they went in back in the house. So I started walking up and pretty soon I heard them. Here they come running after me. Okay. And they have two bottles of wine and three glasses. And I told her, go on back. And I had to stop and drink a glass of wine with them before they let me alone. And then they finally went back in the house and I went up. I had them pretty well spotted where the Germans were. I got lined up, and I got all of them except one, and he took off. And then I kept going, and then I run on three more, and I got all three of them. And then I finally got to my headquarters, you know, that then I got, you know, several guys there then, and then they lined us up, and then we got our directions, where we were supposed to go then. So we took off from that point. We were supposed to block off two roads to keep them from the Germans from coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Here we were, the heaviest thing we had for shooting at that time was a bazooka and a little 105, a little artillery gun.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sort of a gun, you know. Well, we had mortar, but we had just a 60 millimeter mortar.
Mm-hmm.
Little small things, you know. And we took them. Of course, we got in some pretty rough battles then through then. But then, after we pushed on a little bit further, and we could run in another bunch and see, and I was sitting in one area, and they just said, by that time we had a new replacement. See, while I was in that, between the time we jumped in Normandy and the time I got into Germany, we lost four lieutenants and the platoon leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Lost two of them, they got killed. And the idiots, they just, in getting a battle, they just walk around just like they were immune to getting shot or something like that, and they got it. So we was in this one battle, see, and I was behind this rock and stuff, and I was doing all right, see. And here this idiot, he comes walking down, he stood right behind me. And boy, when I saw him, I called him everything under the sun. Get your damn ass out of here. And I said, yeah. And when he started walking away, and he said, oh, you're going to be court-martialed when you get out of here. He got about 100 yards from me, and he got shot.
Oh.
Yeah. And after that, I didn't have no use for him.
Yeah. Understandable.
Yeah.
Understandable. Mm-hmm. let's see here. That's such, wow. I can't even imagine. I mean, when you got into Germany and I guess, you know, going from place to place.
When I got into Germany, I jumped in Holland first.
Mm-hmm.
Before we got in Germany. And that was on a Sunday afternoon, at noon, Sunday,
mm-hmm.
in the daytime. That's the only jump we made in daytime. Yeah.
Wow.
And you could see the enemy down there. When I was coming down, I could see him there. Somebody had pictures, and you could see him there. When they said, well, you take two divisions of paratroopers coming down, and you're looking at a several thousand people and all parachutes, you know, they're coming down all at once to there and stuff, and they looked up in the air, and that sky was just filled up with paratroopers, yep. You know. And boy, they took off. They grabbed everything in the picnic, they just took off and run.
It just ran.
It was after we landed, and about 4 hours afterward, and then all heck broke loose, and they come at us, you know, we were fighting. And we were given the word that within 4 days after we jumped in Holland, the Montgomery was supposed to be in there and relieve us, you know. But anyway, we was in there for putting a week, better than two, going on second week. And old Montgomery never showed up, and everybody got saying, well, he had to stop and eat tippets and stuff like that and have their tea before they come on or something. But anyway, he didn't show up for quite a while. And boy, we was getting killed. I was using German equipment fighting
mm-hmm.
at that time, yeah. A lot of us were, you know, we just had so much ammunition stuff with us, and when we run out, we had to use theirs, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was one of the pretty rough battles. We were fighting out with regular Germans then, you know, the regular guys, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Once you did get to downtime, were your supply lines, would you consider them sufficient?
Well, they're fine, but maybe one series, 2 weeks or something like that, where they could finally bring hot food up us for to eat or something mm-hmm. like that, you know, at that time. But we were always, you know, in a position where they couldn't get up close enough to us to bring the food, so
yeah.
We always had to rely on them sea rations or stuff like that.
Or whatever you found?
Yeah, yeah.
Understandable.
Yeah, and then when we was going into Germany, after Belgium was the wall. That's where the German pushed in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they surrounded the 101st, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we was just just to the right, that would be a south, I guess, for them. We were down there, we push it in. And then we was way up in there. Then we got word from the headquarters. The captain come back to him, and he said, you know, they asked us to pull it back. And boy, everybody was mad. We fought like a son of a gun to get where we were, and then they wanted us to pull back, you know. And boy, they were griping. And so we finally pulled back, and a good thing was this, because the Germans had just pushed in, and they had tanks and stuff, and we didn't have nothing, you know, just what weapons we carried, you know. They coming at us with tanks and stuff like that. So we pulled back and reorganized, and then we got back in, and then they had the artillery, and they said, going in, and we pushed them back. We fought there for... Well, that's the winter we stepped in, or been that winter then. And boy, that was a miserable thing, fighting that winter, you know. You're frozen half the time, and you're wet. And I carried 6 pair of socks with me. Whenever I got a chance, we'd take an area, and you hadn't long enough chance to talk. I'd take them socks, take them off, and I'd carry them up, and when I had 3 a pair of wars, build a little fire. I used that composition C, put it on a rock, and I'd light it. And I hold my canteen cup over top of it, heat it up, and then boil it. And then I take the shell off of my helmet, you know, there's a plastic shell underneath, and there's the helmet. I open it, and I pour it in there, and put a little soap in there, and I wash my socks, see? Wring them out real good, and clean them, and other thing, and then real dry, and then I put them in my jacket underneath, so dry out, you know, I have dry socks.
Very smart. Very smart. When you were in Germany, as you're moving through there, were the people, not the soldiers themselves, but the people of Germany, how did they react to you coming in?
Well, the first start, when we first went in there, they act like they're scared of us. Well, we found out later that Hitler put propaganda and stuff like that, everybody that we was killers, and we killed their children, and we killed everybody that come along, you know, and they were scared of us. But then we took this one town. Well, first we took the 6-foot line. We took 3 pill boxes and took them out. And I was my squad out there. I had the gun and we shooting at them. And I had my machine gunner, and I had glasses. And I was looking at this pill boxes, seeing that. And one of the guys that were going, and the captain said, 4 or 5 guys down to go try to get around them. And where we were at, and where the pill box is, there's an open space in between them. See, and them guys were making a line up there, and hell, they just had the regular uniform on. They're walking in that white snow, and they seen it. They shot all 5 of them guys, the Germans did, see. And I told the captain, I said, boy, I said, that's not a good deal, they're going like that. And he looked at me and he said, you got something in mind? I said, yeah, I have. I said, first, I said, they better clear the area out a little bit. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, there's some snipers up in them trees over there. And he looked, I gave him my glass, and he looked at it, and I said, you look up that branch. I said, the second branch taken off, and see that black spot up there? And he says, yeah. And I says, I'll tell my machine gunner to shoot. And I told McKenzie, was my machine gunner, and I told him, I said, you see that tree on the right over there, and the big one, and the second branch, and it's up the next knee there, and see that black spot? He looked at it, yeah, I spotted it. I said, shoot the heck out of it. He did, he fell down, there's a sniper up there.
Oh,
and we got 4 of them out of them trees that way, see? And then when he started shooting them, I told him, I said, pick up your machine gun and move it, one way or the other. I said, I don't care which way, but move it after you shoot a little bit.
So they don't
and he got to shooting, he just didn't pay any attention, he got shooting, and pretty soon one of the snipers got him, shot the bottom of his jaw off. And me and the captain, we had to pull him off of that machine gun. He sat there and mumbling away, but he was going to shoot like a son of a gun.
Even after he was shot?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I never could find out what it would become of him, you know, but he was there. And then I had another one of my boys got shot. He got shot in the leg, just between the ankle and the knee there, and shot in the leg. And I helped him up, and I put him against a tree, and I asked him, see, we carried that little morphine shot, and I said, you want one of that morphine shot? And that kind of relaxes and stuff. So he says, yeah, so I leaned the shot, and I says, then we hollered for the medic to come down. So I leaned him up there, and I said, the medic will be here and take care of it. I did open it up, and I put the sulfur powder on there to keep it from leaking and wrapped it a little bit. So the medic come down there, and I was back over there doing my thing again, and pretty soon he come back, medic went over there, and he come back. I said, you done with him already? He says, yeah. I couldn't do nothing for him. I said, what's the matter? He said, he's dead. a leg wound. He says, the only thing I can figure out, he died from shock. And I thought maybe that morphine would help him, but I guess it didn't. That was the first time he was in battle. So,
oh, geez.
Yeah. And so he got shot. Then the captain says, what's your plan? I'd like to get around the back of that pillbox. He said, how are you going to do that? And I says, well, I said, to our left there, I was paying attention to that stuff, and I see some timber back in there. See? And I thought if I could walk into the timber all the way around and get behind that, and then I saw some big boulders laying over there, and I said, if I could work my way around, I said, I could probably get close enough and throw some grenades in them little slots, you know, that pillbox was a big slot. And then things were 4 to 5 foot thick cement.
Right.
Yeah. And then they had a little slot over like that,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of half round you, that thing was round. They stick their machine guns out of it, and that's where they shoot. They just make sure. Then the back end, it was just where they step down and come like that. You know. So I got up in back of there, and I told him, I said, Captain, I said, tell the guys, I said, not to shoot over that one direction. I said, I'll be over there, see? So I did. When I got over to the one point, I got right up next to the pillbox. It was kind of a blank area there. Hole was just about 5 foot around too. So I got over there and I took a grenade, another gamma grenade, pineapple grenade, you know, hold it up and I held it in my hand for 2 seconds. See, and then I threw it in the wind, and the minute I threw it in there, it exploded. See?
Oh, wow.
See, if you hold it over 3 seconds and you'll be turned loose, that'll explode almost in your hand.
Right.
Yeah, so I just waited at least 2 seconds and I got rid of it. See, and I wanted to explode this as soon as it got in the slot, you know.
Right.
And three of them in like that. And then I run around the back. Just as I run around the back, there's five of them guys come out in. I shot them with Thompson machine gun. And then I stood there and I threw the grenade in. I got down the steps and stuff and I threw a grenade in from the backside. And I threw three of them in there. Then I let it all settle down and I walked in there, and there was two of them. They were wounded, but they were still alive. And I just shot them. I couldn't get it over with. And there was, over all of them, there's about 26 of them in there. Yeah. And we finally got that pillbox, but he took three of them. I didn't do that with the next two pillboxes. our company took three of them, and I wasn't involved in the third one because another platoon, another company took that in the company, you know, regiment.
Understandable.
But into Germany now. You want to know about Germany.
Germany.
Okay, when the first contact, Germany. When we crossed the Rhine, before we crossed the Rhine River, we was right up the Rhine River. We took this one town, and we got orders to clean it up and gather all the Nazi sympathizers and get them all in confinement, you know, stuff. And so the captain, you know, I can speak a little German, not much, a little German, you know. He says, you go out there and see if you can find them some. And I said, what do I do with this stuff? And he says, first of all, he said, see if you can find a car, a German car, and says, get it. And I said, so I got acquainted with one of them when he was younger. He was a little older now. He was a German guy. He could speak English pretty good. Now. Talked to him. I told him what I wanted to do. He said, yeah. So I went and got a Jeep. So we went around, and he told me where to go to get one. Some farmer, real fancy guy. Matter of fact, this farmer, he had a suit and tie on there, and they was working their horses out there. But he wasn't doing it. He was standing down watching them. But he was the farmer, see. So we went up there, and I looked at the car. It's a Mercedes, and it's a three-seater, you know, limousine is what it was. So I told him, I said, all right, we'll take that. So he called that guy over. He come over there, and we had a form we filled it out. If they damaged anything, the army would pay him, you know, reimburse him for it, you know. And I handed it to him, and I told him to sign it, and he took it down and up and threw it in the ground. So I pulled my pistol up and I stuck it in his stomach, and I told this kid, I said, you tell him to pick it up and sign it to our boys at that side. Okay? Well, he picked it up. I don't know what the kid told him, but he picked it up and signed it. Okay? And so we took the car. I told him, you drive it back to the company now. I says, and we go to the motor pool. I says, now take the Jeep back there, and I says, get back. So he did. So when he got done, I got in the car, I sat way in the back seat, and I told him to go back to the company headquarters. And he pulled up there, pulled in front of him, and the guy standing there, and he said, I got out. He said, how in the heck do you work like that? You chauffeuring around and everything? I said, you got to know the right people, I says. So the captain comes down, and he told me, he says, you go out there, Maria, we had a German girl in there, a typist, see? And, oh, she had a stack of paperwork, and head and mad at person. So she says, I can't do all this stuff. And she says, Maria wants some more help. So I says, what are you looking for? She says, go out and see what you get them. People, she says, but don't tell them anything. Just tell them that there might be a possible chance for a job. She says, but don't promise me anything. She says, and I'll want to talk to them first. See, then, mm-hmm. then you decide. So I went out and I picked up five of them, brought them back, and she took two of them out of that one. See, so I had to go get them. She wanted five of them. Well, I made four trips, you know, I'd go back and forth, pick up these women, and every time I'd go there, I'd